Around Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
I gotta be honest with you, Nate. I don't know. Are we saying we packing them up? You playing Bay music?
Have you seen the pictures of Mac Dre wearing Kings gear?
Allegedly a Kings fan.
Yeah, that's
allegedly.
Why. That's why.
Hey,
that's what it's about.
Playing for Mac Dre's honor.
No 40, no too short this week.
Oh shoot, I forgot about that. The E40.
Yeah, that
will he
went
be
away
in the,
quick.
He won't be in the building.
They squashed that quick because that was they PR got behind that and was like, whoops, sorry.
Yeah, it was not a good move.
No.
It did not make sense.
And then
40
that,
is for everybody.
He made that stupid song, Front Court 40. Do you remember that?
No.
You don't remember that?
No.
He made a song right after Front Court 40, a beefy. Let me cue it up.
Yeah.
It's worth it. It was right after the beat.
I did not know that. Oh, my God.
It's clean.
Yeah, we should have never done that. I didn't understand that because E-40 reps sack all the time.
Well, the way he was the argument they didn't know who it was?
What was it? It was, yeah,
I think it was,
right?
Maybe slurs
because
or something being yelled.
Yeah, he said that somebody behind him was yelling at him or something.
And security.
But then he got kicked out.
Well, because he retaliated.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And then it's always the second person, right?
Right.
Yeah. So. Well, not when the
Unless
second person's E-40.
That's true.
It's not like E-40 is there in a button down. Like
He's
very obvious that that's a part, what are we doing?
Yeah, it's the dude with the smallest beanie on.
What are we doing? But you get a chance to redo all of it.
Yes.
Tomorrow night, and we're trying to flip the vibes here, but I do have to read this one because we got the phone lines going. Is there no one? Does everyone feel like the 916 right here on the text line? And if you want to be a part of the conversation, 916-339-1140. Of course we have a chance to win, but when have we proved we can win a big game this year? We lost twice to Dallas when all we had to do at that time was win one of two. We have dropped big games all year long. I love the Kings, but embrace the hurt. They do not stand bigger than a 10% chance of winning. They haven't gotten it done all year long when they needed it. I think our fan base is delusional when we have not been able to pull out the needed wins all season long. That's from the 916. I mean, what are we doing with the in-season? That was a big game.
That was a long time ago, yeah. I think that's the argument back at it. But I would say you're right. That's probably the biggest
individual game
they've won.
This is what I would retort with. Now, whether or not Malik and Kevin Huerter should be this important is a different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But how many quote-unquote big games, because they all happened during the end of the stretch, how many big games were played? And look, it's an excuse. I know it is. But how many big games were played with Malik and Kevin Huerter? All the big games happen at the end of the season without both of those guys. So I'm not saying you're wrong, and maybe that's why most people don't feel... That's the thing, 916. Most people don't feel that confident.
Right. That's my thing.
I don't think Kings fans are delusional.
TC
was just saying, this is all hope.
Yeah.
It's all hope.
Yep. I don't think that's delusion at all.
I don't think anybody expects it.
Yeah. Yep.
Not when you're missing. This would be the equivalent of, and I haven't watched enough Warriors basketball, but I mean, this would be whoever their sixth man is, or maybe even more important than that, is losing Malik like the Warriors not having Klay Thompson? Because I would say Draymond is more important than I would put Draymond in the Sabonis category.
Yeah.
So that next level down, I would say is that third person, whether that's Klay.
It's almost like a Klay and a half
because
it's like the Warriors have so much more that they can. I mean, Steph is not because De'Aaron isn't great, but it's just Steph is so much a level above everything else that the Kings have that makes up for that gap. And then, you know, it's just the importance that Malik plays for this team. Like, again, if Klay's out, Steph Curry can step up. Wiggins can step up. Now Kuminga's an option to step up. Mm-hmm. They still have Chris Paul on their roster. Malik goes out, and we're talking about Davion Mitchell has to score in double digits. Trey Lyles has to score two threes.
Yeah.
You have to get something out of Keon Ellis. Like, we need HB to look alive again. Like, they just have so much more to bank on if one of their guys are out. I don't even think you can compare it. Like, it would have to be, Klay and GP2 are out.
Yeah, and I think the difference is – and this is why Warrior fans and Laker fans and part of the delusion, I think that Warrior fans, and I would say the Warrior team as a whole, they have underachieved.
Yes.
Okay? Yeah. You have guys that have just underachieved all season long. The Kings have with, yes, with Keegan, but yeah, it was Keegan.
Oh, it Herter too.
Keegan and Herter.
Yeah, yeah.
You have with the Warriors.
HB.
Well, HB, I don't know what the, I don't know, I know how to count that. I don't know how to count that.
I'm sorry.
Don't get me started.
I know. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have.
With the Warriors, you have Klay, who for majority of the season underachieved. You have Wiggins, who underachieved.
Draymond emotionally.
Draymond, who underachieved because he wasn't on the dang court.
Yeah, underplayed.
So I think that is the difference between the Warriors and the Kings.
Sure.
The Kings had a couple people, players, underachieve. Herter was probably the most egregious. Mm-hmm. But you have multiple guys on the Warriors that have underachieved, and it's not due to injury or anything like that, and they're just hoping that they're starting to round. Oh, well, yeah, Wiggins on court, and then Wiggins missed time again.
Yeah. CP as well missed a good chunk of time.
Chris Paul, GP2.
Yeah.
So they're feeling like this is a different version of the team, whereas the Kings, it's just this is who we are right now. And I know I saw people saying, is there any chance that Malik Monk plays tomorrow? I've seen nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, anything is possible. But I've seen nothing.
We'd probably start it. I don't think so. But if it is going to happen, we would start to hear it in about an hour when they're at practice.
Or he's
going to
give it a go.
Exactly. Like, I'd imagine we'll, you know, I'm pretty sure there's practice today at 12:15. I would imagine that question will be asked, or maybe he'll be out there. I would also just, this is a complete assumption, but Malik's probably going to try. Like, if he, you know, because we were hearing reports or seeing Chris Biederman in the Sacramento Bee saying, you know, he's ahead of schedule, feels good, wasn't expecting to feel this good.
But he
this
hasn't
soon.
Even been on the court.
He
has.
He? I mean, if he's able to give it any sort of go, I think even a little Malik Monk is better than no Malik Monk. So I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if there's any, even like a small percentage that it could happen, I think they're going to kick the tires on it. Of course, Malik's got to play ball as well. He's the one who's got everything to lose. He's entering free agency. So if he doesn't want to give it a go, if his future is more important, which is totally understandable, it is what it is. But I think that the competitor, Malik Monk, is at the very least going to kick the tires on it. He's going to see, is there any brace I could wear? Is there anything I can do? Hey, I'm not saying play me 30 minutes, but can I get 2 8-minute stints out there where 8 minutes is probably long, 5-minute stints out there where I can get it done. I think he's going to try. It's just going to be a matter of if he's healthy or not.
Just don't.
And don't
on
bank
it.
On it either.
Yeah,
like, it's
do
just
not.
don't even get your hopes up. If it happens, it's gravy. It's probably not going to happen.
Around the league and what we have going on Tuesday and Wednesday, Lakers at Pelicans, okay, when the Lakers basically get a redo. And the Pelicans, this
beef.
Is who they are.
We have real beef with
you. You know what I just thought about? I'm pretty sure it's going to be the Pelicans. I know they just lost to the Lakers, and I know Anthony Davis is a bit banged up. But going on the in-season tournament thing, this is exactly what the Pelicans did in the in-season tournament.
Same opponent.
They
too.
Beat the brakes off the Kings, okay, and then they went on to play the Lakers and got smacked.
Yep. Yeah.
And then they just got – all you had to do is win, and you're not in the play-in, and you didn't even – you got completely smacked.
Yeah. Talk
again.
About owners. Talk about being in somebody's head. That's got to live in there, right? Like, I mean, the fact that Pelicans are playing for everything, playing to lock down that sixth seed. And, I mean, we watched that whole game. They didn't have a chance from jump street.
No.
They were blown out from wire to wire.
Yeah.
And the Lakers completely owned them. Didn't let them breathe for even a second. The Pelicans looked – almost unrecognizable from the team that had just lit up Golden One Center a couple days before. It really wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I think the biggest thing is their stars have to be stars. Like, you know, as much as we say LeBron and AD, they can easily say Zion and B.I. plus C.J. McCollum. It's just those guys have to show up, and they did not show up on Sunday. And in that play-in tournament, that kind of started this whole Zion train of now he's 25 pounds down and all that. We remember those initial Stephen A. comments came after the in-season tournament, and that kind of flipped things on its head. So it's really on Zion. Like, Zion's gotten a huge pass here, mm-hmm. just in terms of the overall conversation around him. This is a dude that was supposed to be generational. He was supposed to be doing everything we see Wemby doing right now, all this stuff. He has not lived up to it, and it's definitely been because of injuries, but he's been healthy this year, and it has not been an MVP season for Zion. His team is in the 7 seed right now. Like, he's been individually good, but at some point, this dude's got to be, like, clearly a talent that everybody's worried about him, but can he be a true number one? Right now, he's kind of floating with Brandon Ingram and CJ, and that's not how that situation was supposed to go down.
No, and they're basically a team to me that they win the games that they're supposed to win.
Sure, yeah.
But then when there's any type of anything on the line, it changes a bit because they took care of business against the Kings. They took and they're better than the Kings as the Kings are presently constructed. Sure. They took care of business against the Warriors, which maybe was a little bit surprising. And then you go and you get smacked by the Lakers at home, and they're another team where when things are going in their when things are going the way they would like, they look unbeatable.
Right.
And Chris, just quickly to go over our thought process going into the postseason and who we were worried about, we kind of were wrong on all fronts because
dude, I was thinking about especially about Phoenix.
The Phoenix, how did Phoenix
they
pull
rose
this off?
Like a Phoenix,
they pulled it off to stay out of the play-in. Doesn't matter how they did it, and the Mavericks, who I think we had a little bit more belief in the Mavericks, but I don't think anybody saw it. Now BI did go down for the Pelicans, but I don't think that we saw the Mavericks going on the heater
like
that they just went on.
No, yeah, I mean, definitely hats off to those teams, but I mean they also have top tier talent, like, and that's what that thing will do for you is, you know, your whole season can look one way, but then at the end of the year when everybody kind of takes it up to another level, that's where you want to have the best players in the league, and you get Dallas who's got Luka, and definitely Kyrie has stepped up huge and been that guy for them this year, but of course KD, I think the biggest thing for Phoenix is Bradley freaking Beal. I mean, especially after watching him against Sacramento, him in that fourth quarter, he took off, and I think a big part of that is Phoenix hadn't had any sort of consistency with all three of those guys, and now they've played something near 20 straight games in a row. You kind of see them start to look like the team they're supposed to. It looks great now. Who knows if they'll be able to stay healthy through the duration of the playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, that I just got nothing to do but tip my hat to them because I thought Phoenix was dead in the water. I said, I'm not worried about them. They're in the play-in, no doubt. And I think they finished the season winning 7 of their last 10. So, and by far the toughest. I mean, we were joking about their schedule on a nightly basis.
Yeah.
And they didn't care. And that's what, you know, I feel like I said, whatever happens at the end of this playoffs or at the end of the regular season, every team will have earned their spot. And I would say Phoenix, more so than anybody, earned their spot in the playoffs. And, you know, you could definitely say New Orleans earned their spot in the play-in by tricking off that game. And we know the Kings definitely earned their spot where they're at right now.
Looking at this a little bit differently, at the end of the day, what's the worst that can happen? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Excuse me, sir. A word? Okay.
Straight to that front row. See me at the front row. See me on TV in the front row.
Catch me in the front row.
Front row.
Front row.
See me in the front row.
Okay, that's not terrible.
Yeah, we in the front row.
You know what the thing about E-40 nobody ever talks about is this man is a volume shooter. I don't know if you've ever looked at like his track list.
Yeah, how many albums has he put out at this point?
Too Short too. I think he has like 27 albums.
He'll put out like 3 albums a year, and there's like 25 songs on all of them.
According to Wikipedia, he's put out 27 studio albums.
Shut up.
7 collaborative albums.
Oh,
6 compilation albums. And 1 mixtape.
The wildest thing I've seen him on is with this screamo band in like the early 2000s. He's just green screened in for their music video.
Dude.
It's like the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
E-40 Belafonte.
That's good.
Well, see, I'm a rabbit of rhyming. I don't know. I don't even know what he says half the time.
Yeah, that's 40. Front seat 40.
Yeah.
Front row 40.
I thought it was 40. Front court, but it's front row. So it's part of me earlier.
Front row 40. Well, speaking of the tickets for the play-in, here you go. Lakers at Pelicans start at $39.
Ugh.
Heat at 76ers start at $50. Hawks at Bulls. How is Hawks at Bulls more expensive than Heat at Sixers? Hawks at Bulls, $58. Warriors at Kings. Vivek's eyes turning green as we speak. $212.
Yikes. That's insane.
You won't catch me in the front.
No, you will not catch me.
You will not catch me in the back row.
No. No, that's insane. Especially considering there would, I mean, I guess there might not be another home
playing game. We're going to get this in.
If I'm going to spend $212, it better be like a true, like, hey, win and get. And I'm sorry, Kings, but there's no reason to spend that much money on the play-in. Because if they win, then, I mean, obviously they would have to win another game, but more than hopefully there's playoff games that you could go to. If they lose, did you really want to pay $212 to see them lose a play-in game?
Well, it's interesting because if it was in Golden State, you would say, hey, they have higher expectations, so maybe Golden State fans wouldn't be so willing to pay. So I do wonder who they're – I think it's just hardcore Kings fans.
Right. Good. No, that's better for us.
I think this bodes well for Kings fans as far as the
I would think so.
The breakdown of Warriors at Kings, because I don't know how many Warrior fans are going to cash out like that.
Yeah, and for that a play-in. Also could just be like a ticket limitation thing where it's like the Kings have already sold out or given their play-in tickets to a lot of their season ticket holders, where Pelicans just have a bunch in the open market. And if the Lakers at Pelicans is only $39, how much is that Kings at Pelicans ticket going to be? Because if anytime the Lakers are in town, like, that's going to bring a huge influx of fans. So it's like
30,
20.
Yeah, that is like, not. Yeah, you were talking about Zion before the break. That is not what we thought when he was busting out of his shoes.
That's
at
LeBron
Duke.
Versus Zion.
LeBron versus Zion, $38. That is ridiculous.
That's
Nate, we got to make a remix because of these ticket prices. Catch me in the standing room. Catch me in standing room only.
Standing room 40.
Media row styles.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah. That's all you're gonna get out of me. But before the break, we were chatting about really flipping this thing on its head. And you talk about the equivalent of house money.
Yeah.
This is the Warriors. They're staring at Klay Thompson possibly walking and going to Orlando, boating to Orlando, and the big three being done. This is everything for the Warriors. When it comes to the Kings, nobody expects you to win. You're missing your third best player. Yep. You're missing one of your starters. It is what it is. Yeah. And it's big bag Steph Curry, who just packed you up last season, so he's going to do it again. You're playing with house money.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, what's the worst that could happen? The Kings lose to the Warriors again?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess to me, after being up 2-0, after being a 3-seed, after having the season that you had, I almost feel like nothing will burn because, again, you're battling for last place.
Yeah.
You were literally battling for last place to eventually lose, because I don't think the Warriors are going to make any noise, and maybe I'll be wrong, to eventually lose at some point during the playoffs. So, to me, the doom and gloom, I get it. You don't want to lose and to lose to those guys again. But after getting through last season, it just – I mean, how could it even really – bug you that much? I mean, what can your expectations truly be in this season?
Yeah, no, I hear everything you're saying. I think the only thing that you have to lose is, I mean, something that you've already, like, the season's already been disappointing. I mean, you could say it's going to be more, it's just all compounding, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, oh, we lose to the Warriors again. Those feelings feel bad again. I think the worst part and the only thing you have to lose is something that everybody has to lose in this situation, and that's the reality of not making the playoffs, the reality of your season ultimately equaling to nothing. But that's the same thing that the Warriors are playing with, the same thing that the Lakers or the Pelicans will have to play with in the next game. So you really don't have much to lose except for reality sinking in that your season has been an actual, you can stamp it down as a disappointment. And we'll deal with that as it comes. But to your point, like, this isn't a situation like the Warriors or the Lakers where those guys have been feeling the emotions, the hopium has been going up. This Kings situation has just been going downhill and downhill to the point where, to your point, it feels like everybody knows what it is at this point. Your expectations have already been tampered. Mm-hmm. They've already, your feelings have probably already been crushed. It's probably already been hurt. So I don't really know what this game does in terms of losing, except for just making it all a reality.
And last season, you didn't really have any excuses. I mean, I know Domas was banged up and De'Aaron Fox had the finger, but this season, you literally don't have a guy who balled out yes. for you against yeah. the Warriors and won and hit a game winner earlier this season
yeah.
in Malik Monk. So last season, the excuses were a bit tougher. This season, okay, Warriors, I mean, you beat us. You weren't even supposed to be here.
Right.
And the only reason we're here is because we're missing our third best player and one of our starters. Why are
yeah.
you here?
Yeah. No,
why are
absolutely.
You here?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like, what's your excuse? Huh?
Yeah.
Like, we've got valid excuses. Your excuse is just you tricked off games.
You have four Hall of Famers on
yep.
your team.
Yep.
And you're the 10 seed.
Yep.
So
yep.
you want to celebrate beating a team that's missing two of their main rotation players?
Yeah.
Really?
No, absolutely. It's
And if you lose.
You know,
if you lose.
If the Warriors lose.
If the Warriors
lose to the Kings.
If the Warriors lose.
The amount of just pain that will bring the Warriors. Well, it definitely might be worth it. I know a lot of people called in and like maybe, yeah, like ultimately your season. It's kind of what we talked about earlier. Ultimately your season doesn't go well, but to hear the discourse that you personally
oh, yeah.
caused.
Those Warriors Twitter spaces.
It would be crazy.
It would be worth it.
Crazy.
It would be
worth
it.
They would say
it.
Maybe we should have kept Mike Brown. Oh, we had this dude in-house.
That's right.
You know, we just let him go.
It will all be said.
It will be
But
great.
You got to get it done.
Got to get it done.
When we return, how in the world did the Kings end up in this situation? Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
How did we get here? Well, it's fairly simple. The tricked off games, Wizards, Pistons, Hornets, Blazers, and then the Kings went on to lose five of their last six games. Excuse me, now five of their last seven, the ones that mattered. The Kings blew 15 double-digit leads. And three of them were this month. And
in the short month of April?
That's right.
We played like what, like six games?
Well, you figure the double digit lead thing can be a little bit misleading, right? Because I don't know. We've discussed that line of what's okay and what's not, whether that's 15 or is it 20?
Right.
I don't know, but the Kings, they earned this, as you said earlier in the show, and now they're going to have to get it out the mud. They're going to have to win two just to get in, and it's going to be tough, man. There's no other way to put it, but we've seen some flashes of a team, even without Malik, that could beat those Warriors. They could. The question is, how long does that team show up? And that team just hasn't shown up for four quarters.
Yeah, I mean... Exactly. That's the key, is playing four quarters of good basketball, because I think you said it at the top of the show, but you know, I expect them to kind of come out with some energy, mm-hmm. maybe get up to a lead, maybe not. But ultimately like show some signs of life, and then ultimately probably like a slow bleed, or maybe there's just a big run that happens
right.
that they just can't overcome. It's about putting it together for 48 minutes, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be I mean, we talk about 50-50 balls. It's going to be doing that. It's going to be forcing turnovers. You know, it's going to be an interesting decision of, you know, I know we've had that. I mean, I feel like the Warriors were the thing that started this conversation with us of, are they going to blitz or not with Steph Curry? Who are they going to choose to be the guy that they're willing to beat them? It's going to be an interesting game for sure. I mean, this is the fun, I guess, of a one game play-in is – anything can happen. Like, realistically, even though the Kings don't feel like they have a shot, they definitely can win in a one-game situation. Warriors can go cold. You know, you can game plan the right thing. I think ultimately the game plan I want to see, or the game script, I guess, is just try and be in it for you know, three quarters, and that fourth quarter, give it everything you've got. The Warriors have played more clutch games than any team in the NBA. You could say that's good for them because they have the experience in those situations. I'm seeing that number 48, by the way, 48 of their 82 games have come down to being within 5 points in the last 5 minutes. That tells me that you're never really out of it with the Warriors. Mm-hmm. Even if you're up a ton, got to be wary that they can make that comeback. But at the same time, they have been in tons of these situations with the whole spread of teams. I mean, they've got games against Chicago like this. They've got games against, you know, Denver and Jokic, where Jokic hits that half court crazy heave. Mm-hmm. OKC, they have done this against just about everybody. I know they've been a completely different team post All-Star break, but ultimately, this team does end up playing really, really close games. You just want to be in it in that clutch time. Whatever happens, happens. They've got this year's Clutch Player of the Year probably in Steph Curry. You've got last year's Clutch Player of the Year in De'Aaron Fox. You just got to give yourself a chance with 5 minutes to go. So even if it is a big run, you can't get too down on yourself. You just got to keep chipping away at it and try and make it as close as possible with 5 minutes to go.
Yeah. And
24-24, by the way, they are.
Yeah.
In those 48 games.
Okay. So, you know, they've literally won some and lost some. It depends on kind of how you look at it. I think that the ball pressure that Keon and Davion will be able to create is something that the Warriors haven't seen. Yeah, they've beat the Kings with Malik. They've lost to the Kings with Malik, but they have not seen Keon Ellis.
Yep.
They have not seen the combination of Keon, Davion, and De'Aaron Fox, and that is something that I think is going to throw them for a bit of a loop. Kings have not seen the Warriors with Trayce Jackson-Davis, and I'll put it to you like this. Sabonis, I know we had JD on the morning show, and JD said, hey, the numbers maybe didn't look that bad for Sabonis, but he didn't have a good series. That's how JD put it. And I am a little bit worried about Sabonis on Trayce Jackson-Davis. He is athletic, which should bode well. He's not crazy, crazy athletic, so he's right in that middle ground to where, and to be honest with you, he's got a mentor. Kevon Looney has not really been playing. Mm-mm. So he's got a mentor in Kevon Looney that can say, hey, this is what Sabonis likes to do. You know, we're going to watch the film together, even though they only have a couple days to kind of prepare. But that worries me, Sabonis, and how important he is. Sabonis' ability to score and get the offense rolling, as he typically does, that worries me more than the guard play, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah. No, I'm sure we're going to break it down a lot more tomorrow, but I think I actually like the Sabonis match. And I know this is possibly famous last words because we here in Sacramento really liked the Sabonis Kevon Looney matchup.
Yeah.
That was the one that we circled as the, oh, this is a clear win for Sacramento. But I would just say that Trayce Jackson-Davis is not Kevon Looney. Like, Kevon Looney does possess, not to sound like Liam Neeson in Taken, but he does have a very particular set of skills.
Yes.
And those set of skills definitely lend itself to make life tough on Sabonis. Looney was a fantastic rebounder and a guy who's a freaking bull. Like, you can't move Kevon Looney. That shoulder, shoulder, shoulder doesn't really work against Kevon Looney because he's just got a great base and doesn't really move easily. I don't know. This is where I haven't watched a ton of Warriors. I don't know if Trayce Jackson-Davis can bang like that. He's smaller. He's more Draymond size than he is Sabonis size. He's a lot more close to that 6'8", smaller center. He is a great athlete. He's caught some bodies this year. He's also a really good defender as well. I've seen him block, meet a couple people at the rim as well. So that's kind of somewhere where Looney doesn't really provide that. But it's just going to be interesting to see how Sabonis does with that matchup in general, because you could argue that's the X factor matchup for the Kings. If Sabonis can completely dominate that matchup, and I'm talking 23, 24, 25 plus, and hold Trayce Jackson-Davis to under 10 and just dominate, that's how this game can become a lot more interesting and probably lean more towards the Kings. I mean, if Sabonis has a big game, I think that does so much for opening up everybody else's game. I think that was the problem last year, was Sabonis couldn't get other people going and couldn't get himself going. Mm-hmm. I think they kind of go hand in hand. It's going to really come down to things like that. Can you win your matchup? Can Keegan hit more threes than Klay Thompson? We know Steph is going to do what Steph does, but can De'Aaron try and, again, 30 points? Can he try and match what Steph is bringing? And then, yeah, you, of course, you got to get some contributions. I think we had a caller earlier mention how important the bench is going to be. You've got to get something. You've got to, you can't get 12 points out of Davion and Trey Lyles combined. Those two specifically have to provide something off the bench because the Warriors have Pajemski. They've got CP. They've got Moody Moses. They've got, you know, we don't know if Kuminga's going to play or not, but they've got a bench. So they're going to get some production from that side. King's got to be able to match it somewhat.
Yeah, Trey Lyles is going to be huge.
He's got to be. Yeah, he's
Trey
Lyles,
because that's just another guy that the Warriors would have to respect.
Yes.
And if Trey, he came back from injury and he was hot. Mm-hmm. He's cooled off a little bit, hoping that he can get back on the track. Yeah, I think Trey Lyles is going to be incredibly huge. Important on multiple fronts.
He was big in the playoffs, too. It was really kind of as simple as Trey hit a couple threes, King's got a chance. Trey wasn't really a big factor in some of those games, and the Kings really didn't have much of a chance in those games.
Yeah, you have to make up for that production and that you're missing with Malik Monk. And we've seen spurts of it.
Yeah.
We've seen spurts of it, but it just hasn't been happening on a consistent basis. Yeah. And that's why all these numbers and, you know, it talks about what the Kings have done with Malik out. And, since Malik Monk's injury, they're fifth in defensive rating, they're ninth in offensive rating, but they're 4-6.
Yeah, I mean, and that's really interesting. One of those things has to, it depends which number you want to focus on. I think that was the one thing I was going to say is I do think the Kings' defensive style right now does lend itself a little bit better to a team like the Warriors where, like you said, they turn the ball over like crazy.
They do.
And the Kings are just playing the deflection game. They're trying to create chaos. So if the Warriors can play into that, and yeah, like you said, if the Kings can get 15, 20 turnovers on Golden State, that's another way that this game becomes a whole lot better. If the Kings can win the offensive rebounding advantage in this game, we know the Warriors dominated the offensive glass in that series. If the Kings can take advantage of that, this is how they have a chance. This is how they have more than a chance. This is how they make it more a game that's of their style. If the Kings are going to get into, you know, that, I think it was game four, where the HB missed three, 124, 123, they can't win those games. I don't think they can even play those games anymore. We've seen them, I think you said it earlier, like we've seen them start hot and then just completely crap the bed in the second half. I don't know if they can shoot like that for 48 minutes anymore.
No. And they've shown that they can't.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why they haven't been able to finish the job in a lot of these games. Coming up next, we will hear from those in the Bay, from Steve Kerr and everyone's favorite Warrior, Draymond Green. Like Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports. Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
From the 219, King Sands will riot if we lose again at home to our hated nemesis, Warriors. From the 6-2-6, Fox and Sabonis need to play lights out, leading Kings to a must-win. Can't choke at home against Golden State.
I don't think they'll riot. I think they'll be too sad.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of sadness.
It's going to be a bad energy.
Mm-hmm.
That Game 7 energy. I was thinking about that energy on the car ride in this morning. I was like, ugh. Like, it was just such an interesting feeling. I mean, obviously, we haven't felt that in a very long time here, but it was, you could just feel like and you know, that game maybe is a particular case because it was over pretty much by the time the third quarter was over, but you just felt the sadness in the room. Like, you could tangibly feel the tension in the air of just disappointment, and I don't think it'll be to that level because it's not, you don't have the six games leading into it of emotion, but ultimately, I definitely think people are just going to be disappointed that the season is over. We're not even making the playoffs. There was supposed to be so much forward momentum, and it feels like all of that is just completely stopped in its tracks.
Yeah, and not the best comparison here, okay. But you know, when something tough happens to a friend or family member out of the blue, it's really difficult to take, right? When you kind of see something coming, obviously it's still really tough, but you've almost prepared yourself.
Sure.
Doesn't make it easier, but you've prepared yourself. Right. And I feel like
it's not so sudden.
No. Yes. And I think last season was such a whirlwind.
Yeah.
And not to say it wasn't sudden, but going into this season with losing, well, first of all, underachieving with Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter, then losing Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter, I think that this one will hurt, but you've
been building towards it.
You're expecting it to end at some point, whether it ends tomorrow night or Friday, or you sneak in and then that happens. And I know everybody feels good about the Thunder, but
what happens if you get swept by the Thunder?
Yeah. So I think it feels a little bit different than last season.
Yeah, I would say so. I definitely think so. I think, just in general, too, like, it hasn't been as high as it was last year. I think everybody, obviously, there were so many high moments all the way up to the Kings even getting the 3 seed. And then, yeah, like you said, this year it's just felt like people are already disappointed. People have already been upset at what's going on. I don't know if people will get more upset. Maybe they'll get louder about it because they will have been physically proven right. But I think ultimately, I guess we're going to have to see. It'll be really interesting, the emotions that people will feel. I definitely think there's going to be a lot of anger, a lot of frustration, a lot of people upset that the Kings didn't aggressively try and get better this year. But, it will also be ultimately a pushback of, like you've been saying, I don't think they were going to win much this year anyway. So how much of those conflicting emotions kind of is where are people going to ultimately land at?
The Warriors are preparing for their playoff run and hoping that it's another long one. In their mind, they've already beaten the Kings. That's not Steve Kerr, though. We know Steve Kerr takes everybody seriously. And here he is talking about the matchup.
Well, it'll be a great atmosphere. We were there last year, obviously. And, they'll have their crowd behind them. And it's nice to not get on a plane. So we'll take the bus up there tomorrow and, have a day to prepare and be ready to go.
I will say he is right. That is the one, the only positive about the Warriors being so close is that it will be truly like a very unique sports experience. Mm-hmm. Not often do you get like two fan bases in the same building for an elimination game with the proximity of everything, you know, like this is, you know, of course, like Michigan, Ohio State are big and, you know, maybe they'll section off in one section or two, three sections of Ohio State fans, but you're going to have a ton of Warrior fans sprinkled all throughout this. And it's going to be about as close to a neutral environment as you're going to get, which isn't good for the Kings, of course. You want that to be as much of your fan base as possible. But from the pure sporting wide view of it, like, you're getting both fan bases in the building. Both are in this game for completely different reasons. And, you know, whatever happens is going to happen, but the environment is going to be crazy. If the Warriors play well and win and blow out the Kings, those Warrior fans are still going to be loud. There's going to be a lot of tension in the air for sure. Mm-hmm. But if the Kings win, like, you get to, you know, you get to trash talk on the way out. Like, I think it's just a really unique environment that you usually, I don't think any, maybe like Lakers, Clippers, if you had like Nets, Knicks, but there's just not many situations where you're this close and the fan bases can kind of co-mingle like that, I guess.
Yeah, last season was different. You know, you got a 3 and a 6 there. Seed. Yeah. I think that the Kings are in a cool position and Kings fans are in a cool position because, again, the Warriors, they didn't expect to be here. The Kings didn't either.
Right.
But you essentially have a lot of your squad, the Warriors do, and it was just tough for the Kings down the stretch. So if the Warriors win, the trash talking is just, oh, yeah, your little brother or whatever, but you're still the 8 seed, and you're probably not. If neither team is going to win the whole thing.
I thought only championships matter.
Exactly. That's my whole point. Whereas Kings fans, you can still say, hey, you guys have a top 10
yeah.
player of all time, and you can't even get out of the plan.
Or you lost. Y'all can't beat us.
Right. You know? Yeah, exactly. So I think that is at least a cool thing that the Kings could hold over their head if you win.
Yeah. I will say Warrior fans are incredibly annoying, so I do also hate the fact that it's going to be 30%. It is a cool environment, but it doesn't make it any more enjoyable because, you know, yeah, Warrior fans, they obviously have they've got their rings and all the stuff that they got, so you know, they're usually loud and obnoxious about it, and it is really funny to hear them, you know, through one side of their mouth say, we beat you, guys are our sons, whatever, but then at the other side say, oh, like, it doesn't matter if you're not winning rings, like, oh, okay, cool, you guys want a play-in game, real happy for you. So just be prepared for that, and you know, ultimately, if the Kings win, that building's going to be insane.
Yeah,
it's going to be like, I don't know if we've really gone through anything. I mean, obviously, this is the first time the Kings have been in this play-in tournament at all in franchise history, so it's completely uncharted territory, but who knows? You might see, like, the fan version of Patrick Beverley jumping on the scores table if the Kings win. People are going to be hyped because of the little expectations that I think people have walking into it.
Would it avenge last season?
No. It'd be close, though. I think it'd be a very, very nice feather in your cap for sure. Especially if Malik doesn't play, that's a pretty nice consolation prize. It's not as good, but it's about as close as you're going to get at this point.
From Josh in Santa Cruz, I see online, if Kings win tomorrow and the Lakers lose, Kings would play in L.A. Is that correct? Yes. Overall record beats head-to-head? Yeah, the head-to-head's done.
It doesn't
because
matter.
Of where they finished.
7-8, so, yep, they're going to get the home.
Yeah, I mean, the Lakers had their higher.
Yep.
It's over. So the Kings win, Lakers lose, yeah, they would be in
L.A.
They would be
I believe that'll be on Thursday as well.
I thought it was Friday.
I'm not 100% sure. Yeah, okay. I haven't double-checked that.
Well,
that was just
they got a win for you to.
Yeah, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. How about that?
That's correct. When we return, got some sound from Draymond. He kind of calls the Kings game managers.
Of course.
Also, everybody's been waiting for it. We're doing it right here at 12, assessing Mike Brown's season. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Light the beam! Light it!